Hebrews 3:7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. So, you know, they didn't go into the promised land. I know you guys know scripture. They didn't go into the promised land because they sent the spies out, and they didn't come back they all came back with a report. And they all came back with a good report. It's just 10 of them came back with some butts. Right. And so the people were just, they just didn't believe God. And so verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So, Holy Spirit said to do this in these scriptures. Remember, the writer is being unctioned by the Holy Spirit, right? And he said this, don't harden your heart, okay? As Israel did in the wilderness. Now, I think it's interesting that he said an unbelieving heart is an evil heart. This is pretty strong. You know, an unbelieving heart is an evil heart. He said that an unbelieving heart departs from the living God. The King James in Hebrews 3:10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said they do always err in their heart. They know not my way. So then it said he was grieved. There are certain ways that the Holy Spirit feels about you. When you think about them, your priorities will begin to shift when you become aware of what Holy Spirit is going through with you. You want to contribute to the relationship with Holy Spirit, right? I mean, you want to, you know, it's just not all about you and him feeding into you. You want to contribute to the relationship. And so that opens up new realms in walking with God that you may not have considered before when you're going to flow into this. And so I was thinking about these two scriptures. Number one, Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. So you could grieve the Spirit or you could quench the Spirit. And it doesn't say while at church or in the presence of your pastor. Right. That's right. It just says, period, that you can do it. Don't do it. So grieve means to cause sorrow or distress. It describes the pain in the heart of the Holy Spirit, what he can feel because of something we would do or allow in our lives. So I would say this, it's character-centered, okay? Walk with me and you'll pick it up a little better here. This is a boundary, really, that must have the attention of everyone who's interested in hosting the presence of God in a powerful way. You're going to have to think about this very thing, okay? So this really helps me in my grace walk. I'm not afraid that I'm going to go to hell if I sin. I'm not afraid that God is mad at me. I know that Jesus paid. I understand those things. But I have reason to do what's right for better reasons. And those reasons would be that I don't want to grieve the Spirit or hurt people. Okay? And I don't want to empower the enemy. The Apostle Paul was very clear about that. Once you get saved, you're not trying to earn things. You're not being good to earn something. You're being good because the devil is a legalist. And he'll try to put you on the mat about that, if I can just cut across that. Amen. And so to quench the Spirit is a command that zeroes in on the co-laboring aspect of the relationship. It means to stop the flow of. And the original language says to extinguish or put it out. So to quench the Spirit would mean that our ability to allow the Spirit to flow through us to change circumstances would be hindered. So this then is power-centered. So one's character-centered and one's power-centered. Are y'all with me? Okay, so grieve is character-centered. Quench is power-centered. So when you grieve, you do something that he doesn't want you to do. When you quench, you don't do what he wants you to do. Here's a good example. When I was up here earlier, and I was just going to go right on down the line and start laying hands on people, and the Lord had already said something to me, and I was just skipping right over that, and he was like, no, wait. I told you to call on the people. And so I would have what? Grieved or quenched? I would have quenched the Spirit because I didn't do what he wanted to do. But notice, because we did what he wanted to do, healing happened. Power was released. About knocked us down a couple of times there, didn't it? Thank you, Jesus. So you can quench the Spirit then too. You can grieve or quench. So I'm going to say it to you one more time. When you grieve, you do something that he doesn't want you to do. You know that stuff. Yeah. Amen. And then when you quench, you don't do what he wants you to do. Grieve is character centered, quench is power centered. Now, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't believe him. Okay? It's very grievous to someone that does if they don't believe you. It's grievous to you if they don't believe you. I've experienced that quite a bit in my life, where people will, I'll tell them something and I'll say, it's going to be at 7:30, and they'll just ignore me and look it up to see for themselves. Or I tell them, if you'll get off the highway right here and go through here, you'll miss all the lights. They ignore me and just go on. I had that happen when I worked in Chicago. I worked with a man who was a Marine guy, whatever they are, that were like Navy SEALs or whatever you call those guys. And so he knew better than me. But we would spend 45 extra minutes, you know, just because he didn't want to listen, because he knew better. Well, you know, you get weary when people fact check you every minute. You do. They just ignore you. At least they could say, do you mind if I look that up? Let's just make sure. Is that okay? Because I'm not sure if you're right about that, Pat. You know, but a lot of times, no, it isn't. You know, and doesn't that kind of grieve you? Well, think about how the Holy Spirit feels. Amen. That was good right there. Praise the Lord. I'm happy about that. So you get it. But the point is, I think with God, we can trust him. We should be able to trust him. And I don't think you would be sitting in this room right now if you didn't believe something about God. I believe you do trust him in some ways. Well, this chapter is about how they didn't believe that he could help them take the promised land. So they all stayed out for 40 years. Well, I'm telling you, we don't have 40 years to stay out. It's time to go on in, so we need to trust God. Verse 13 there, Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. They just provoked God. Amen. For when they had heard, they did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. So there were a few, Joshua and Caleb. Amen. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not go into the rest? It was to them who believed not. Now, church, it wasn't like this. I'm fed up with you. You don't believe me and you're staying out. It was this. if you don't believe me, I can't help you. It's just really pretty simple. Now, so we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. So says verse 19. Now, we have a rest. Do we? You read the Bible, you go on over to 4, and it says that we can enter into a rest. That's what Danny's talking about. Living in that kingdom is a rest. You don't have to toil all the time. These anointings that are on our lives, the blessing that is on our lives, the blessing is not Hachu bless you. The blessing is an anointing to prosper. Amen. We have all these things that we're wearing from the Holy Spirit. And so we have an opportunity to move into this land. Now, Romans 10:10 says this. I'm going to make this clear here. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believes. Okay? So here we are dealing with this heart. We're dealing with a heart. We're not dealing with the intellectual. We're not dealing with the mind or the brain. We're dealing with the heart, not the blood pump. We're dealing with your center, with your spirit. And in your spirit looks just like you, probably a little better looking, maybe. A few pounds off your spirit there. But your center, your believer, your spirit, okay? That's what we're dealing with here. The natural man does not receive, 1 Corinthians 2:14, I quote this to you guys all the time, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him. So you have to spiritually discern what the Holy Spirit, obviously spirit to spirit, you're going to have to discern what God wants. And so you can't have a hard heart and do that. This great salvation and all that comes with it has to get past your intellect, past your carnality, your carnal nature, we'll better say it that way, and down into your heart. And so that's how you get revelation, right? Come on, I'm preaching to the choir. We're going to walk down through something here. So faith or believing cannot be just mental assent. There's value in that. And as we move along, we learn that in developing your faith, you're going to have the renewing of your mind, right? When you develop your faith, which we're going to talk about that in just a minute too. But this cannot just be mental assent. The mind is involved, but it's not the place of believing. So this is about full conviction, okay? It becomes truth to you. To believe is to trust. And trust has more to it, but to believe is to trust. The writer of Hebrews called unbelief a hard heart. Now, it's you're like, gosh, I'm so glad I don't have a hard heart. Well, good. I hope you don't. Because a hard heart is calloused. It can't see. Jesus called our hearts ground. Did he? Mark 4, Matthew, Luke, in all those he talked about the sower. And he said that the sower sowed seed into ground, talking about sowing the word into your heart. Okay? Now, so there was wayside ground. What was there? Stony ground, thorny ground, and good ground. So we want to be that good ground. So we know that in the wayside, the stony and the thorny, that seed doesn't grow all that well in those three. And so we want that good ground. Now, you get a harvest from there. So if you don't have a hard heart, let's just say it like this, you're going to get a harvest. If you can get this thing plowed up and start receiving, you're going to start getting growth and harvest. You got to believe. And you can't just believe because you hear somebody say, man, I put my faith out there and God gave me a car. We'll just use car. That seems to be what comes up. And then they say, well, I'm going to do that. Well, that's just mental assent. That's not growing something from your spirit. That's just it hitting the wall here and you parroting that. I'm jumping ahead, but you know this stuff. Faith comes by what? And what? Hearing and hearing. So the Bible said that it must be nigh you, in your heart and in your mouth, not in your head and in your mouth. And around here, of course, we hear that all the time. But stay with me because I'm going to go deeper here. Every promise belongs to you. Everything that Jesus paid for, the healing, the provision, the protection, favor, all these things belong to you. Yeah, Lord, thank you for that. And it's real easy, you know. And I've heard people say this, well, you know, and it's by grace. It's by grace. It is. But it's by grace through faith. So you got to believe something. You're going to have to believe something. So you can't have a hard heart and believe. And so you actually do have to do something. Not works as in legalism or earning, but stewardship. How many of you love favor? You like the message of favor? How many of you feel like you have favor on your life? Tell somebody, I have favor. Now you do. You do have favor. But have you ever noticed that some people seem to have more favor than others? Well, that isn't fair. Well, favor ain't fair. Favor isn't fair. Covenant people, you know, they have a leg up on this thing. Danny just preached about that. Covenant people, God's kids, I think your kids have more favor with you than other people's kids. Is that right? You're going to pick your kids. You're going to feed your kids first. Yeah, you're going to take care of your kids. That's what you're called to do. You find favor with them. They're so precious. Yeah, I like those other kids, but my kids are so precious. Aren't they? That's what you think. And those grandchildren. Woo! Grandchildren. Okay, I'm not going to get off on grandchild. Okay, but church, the reason why you see Brother Jerry have more favor than you is because he stewards it. He thinks about it. He meditates it. He believes it. It happens. And he goes back and rehearses all the favor. And every time you hear him preach, you get all excited about favor. That's his assignment. Just like my assignment is God is good. Okay? But if you will steward favor like Brother Jerry stewards favor, it'll grow. If you steward your faith and all these graces that belong to you. You'll see that they work a lot better than they are right now. So, you know, now the promises are ours. You can get a rhema word. We just had a big teaching. All of us sat through some teachings on that with Brother Keith. You get a rhema word, it's the word that's talking to you that brings the faith. And I agree with that. I just think you can get a rhema word in 10 seconds if you pick up your Bible and start meditating on it. It doesn't have to take a long time. I know that some people are like, well, all the promises are, and I have a problem with that. Just pick up your Bible and start meditating on the Word, or listening to the Word, or getting something out of the Word, and you start eating the Word, and you'll get some nutrition out of the Word. Amen. And so I think that was good, and I think what he was trying to do is exactly what I'm trying to do today, and pull you away from just the mental part of this thing. He's trying to pull you away from being a parrot. Because you can quote the Word all day long. Oh, live and not die, I'll live and not die, I'll live and not die. You know, well, where are you getting that? Yeah, I'm dwelling in Psalm 91. I'm dwelling, well, I don't understand. I was dwelling in Psalm 91. Well, were you? Because you can't live off the memory. You got to eat the thing. That vitamin C, it'll do you some good, but you have to take it. Yeah. You have to take it. You have to swallow it. You have to get it down in the center. Amen. Now, Hebrews 3 is warning us not to get away from our faith in the promises, because we do have this rest. Now, here's the thing I wanted to get to. I said all that because I want to say this to you. God is wanting, he was willing to give Israel more than they would receive. He was willing to give Israel more than what they would receive. He is willing to give you more than what you're receiving right now. He is the God of more than enough. He is the God of overflow. He'll give you more joy. He'll give you more peace. He'll give you more anointing. He'll give you more favor. He'll give you more whatever it is you're looking for. He is more than enough. He is El Shaddai. He is willing. So don't get mad at me, but I'm just going to tell you that the problem lies with you. The problem lies with me. There's actually one scripture that says, it's over in Psalm 78, something I believe. It says that they limited the God of Israel. We must remove these limits by allowing our hearts to be plowed up, be softened, and get what God has for us. Well, Pastor, you're just preaching this all the time. Yeah, I'm going to until you get it. That's right. We're all flowing down the same line when we're preaching here. It's just the truth. We have to get this. I'm preaching to myself too. You understand? We have to make sure that we feed on words that are talking to us. Now, when I ask you about favor, everybody's like, "Yeah, I want favor, yeah." There's nothing like favor, and I'm telling you, it isn't fair. Not to the world. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. Hold that back. Hold that back. You can probably guess where I was going. Let's go over to Mark 11. Let's go over there. Let's go over to Hagin 11:22. And by the way, Brother Hagin didn't write this. Holy Spirit did. God is willing to give you more than you're receiving. We're trying to open up this ground so that you can get what belongs to you. It's not hard, but it does take a few things, and I don't want you to get frustrated about this. That's why I wanted to go here today. Jesus, so y'all know the fig tree has just happened. Have faith in God. He answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. God has given you his faith. For assuredly I say unto you, who shall ever shall say unto this mountain, be thou be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says It's so hard to do this. I'm reading a different version, trying to quote another version. Pay attention. Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Okay? Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. So first of all, you have to believe. You're going to have to get it in your heart. Going to have to use that believer. And the mouth is going to say what you believe. How you doing? Well, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How you doing? Well, the devil. Well, what are you believing? It's quiet in the church. To have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, you believe, and then you believe you receive. Well, the scripture says, are you believing and receiving all these things that God has for you? Well, Pastor, I just feel like I have a jam log. You know, I've been waiting for this summer to come to pass, and it just hadn't come to pass, and I can't see it clearly. That's why we're here right here today. Amen. That's why we're doing what we're doing right here today. I told the prayer group this morning that I'm not doing some series with 3 points in a poem, that I want to get everybody into the place they need to be to walk through these days. These days are very unusual for us. But we've been through days before, and it didn't matter who was in office, because we were in the kingdom. And that's the same today, except today we're going to have to stand for America. I knew I'd have to go there sooner or later. Praise the Lord. The ecclesia has to come forth. So we got to be believing something. You got to be believing something. So when you come up to this thing that you believed you received, you're going to need to keep it. You're going to have to keep what you receive. If I give baby here some money and she looks at it and keeps doing this and tries to give it back to me, it won't end up being hers. But if she says, give me that, puts it in her pocket, she's like, oh, Pastor, where's the, come on. You got to take it. And then you have to keep it. Why? Because the Bible says that Satan comes immediately to steal the word. So if you received your healing this morning, keep it. And by the end of the day, you should see a change. By tomorrow morning, you should see a change. If you've been diagnosed with something and you have to go back to the doctor, I'm believing that they'll tell you you're healed when you go back. I believe that with all my heart. You will see a change, because it's going to go the way you believe and what you're saying about what you believe. This is Faith 101, church, but we got to go right here, right now, because everybody's got to get on this page. Yeah. Believe it. Do not have a hardened heart. Okay, let's get on down the line then. This is going to be the fun part. Y'all are going to love me for this one. Right before I go there, notice the saying part is stressed. They say 3 times. That'll tell you something right there. Okay. Now, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, you'll have a hard heart. It got quieter in the church, but still telling the truth. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness opens the gate to what God wants to flow to you. Okay? Now, I know. You're like, oh, I love everybody. I'm not mad at anybody. Till the news comes on. I'm going to take someone so out. You know? Believe me, I feel just like you do sometimes. Now, you mean God won't forgive me if I don't forgive? No, that's not what this says. It doesn't. This is just King James, okay? Jesus has paid for everything. Everything, all of your sins have been forgiven. Even the ones you haven't committed yet have been forgiven. Now, you got to stay in fellowship with God about that, okay? But what I'm talking, all those sins are forgiven. Here's the thing, though. The forgiveness can't get to you. The flow can't get to you if you stop it. That's what that's saying. He's saying, look, I've issued forgiveness. But you're stopping it with a heart matter. A hard heart matter. You're stopping it. That's what this is saying. Unforgiveness shuts you down. Gives you a hard heart. And then you don't believe anything. Well, I was just treated so badly, so it's God's fault. I'll never forgive what they did to me. Really? Really? Unforgiveness is like taking poison and hoping somebody else will die. Unforgiveness is choosing to stay trapped in the jail cell of bitterness, serving time for someone else's crime. Amen. It's the flow. And listen, it's not an emotional thing. You may have gotten mad at Nancy last week. We'll just make up a Nancy. Hope nobody hears name Nancy. We better not do that because Pastor Nancy. Let's pick another name. We don't want to do that to Pastor Nancy. Gertrude?
Yeah, I don't know Gertrude.
Okay. Anybody here named Ethel? We're good. That's my grandmother. She's in heaven, Lord. Yeah. You get mad at Ethel? But then you go, you know, I choose to forgive Ethel. My mama had to do that a lot, come to think of it. But anyway. yeah. So you forget, and you did it. You chose to do it. It's a choice. But when you see Ethel coming and Ethel still acting the same way Ethel acted last week, something inside of you say, smell of the mustard, Ethel. You know, that's how you feel. But I'm telling you, all you do is say this. No, I forgave. You don't let that come back in and start something back over again. Because the enemy will try to get you to believe that you didn't forgive. Because that's what he does. He lies. You didn't forgive anybody. If you made the choice, you did. Your whole life is choice driven. You get mad at the pastor. I didn't like what she had to say. Well, you can forgive me and go right on. Or you can get a hard heart and stop it all. See, that's what blocks it. Blessing blocker. Yeah. Weed on your seed. But it's just a choice, church. Your feelings. You see so-and-so at the restaurant and you'll go, But all you have to do is go, no. Holy Spirit, I forgave them. Please help my feelings catch up with the truth. Help my feelings catch up with the truth. help my feelings catch up with the truth. I don't like what they did to my baby. Feelings catch up with the truth. I forgave them. If Jesus said we could do it, then we could do it. And then this unblocks everything. The sower sows, this is Mark 4:14, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So the word went into the heart, but if you didn't want to keep it in there and not let Satan have it, then you need to plow up that ground and have a good heart, keep that good heart, keep a receiving heart. Amen. You know, I don't expect you to like everything I say or any other preacher. But I surely expect you to be grown up enough to eat the meat, spit out the bones, and go on in love. I don't like that preacher. I don't like that preacher. Well, listen to somebody else. Nobody's forcing you to eat anything. You can push your plate back anytime you want to. When someone hears the word of the kingdom, I'm going to interpret the scripture we just read with the scripture. That's what you do, you know, you interpret scripture with scripture. Matthew 13:19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. Now we're going deeper. So we talked about how to unblock. You just want to stay in forgiveness. Now let's talk about this one thing. They didn't understand it. You have to understand. That's why we pray Ephesians 1:16-23, the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Just, you know, Holy Spirit will help you get the blinders off. I remember the day, I remember sitting on the plane and coming home from Denver, and I remember thinking about Brother Hagin. I was like, man, who does he think he is? I was so stinking religious. And I heard the voice of the Lord. And I don't mean I heard an audible voice. I heard him in here. And he said, he's right and you're wrong. And I was like, okay, I know that voice. And all I had to do was just start listening a little further. And I found out God was good. And I found out that this stuff works. And it's been working for me since 1987. Okay? And I'm living it. Living the dream. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Living in favor, living in prosperity, being blessed. When there is trouble, overcoming. And one of the main things I learned is the don't quit message. I don't care how it gets, don't quit. If you don't quit, only losers are quitters. That's how it happens. If you want to be a loser, just quit. That's how you, I can say that, Lord. If you want to start building character, there's your number one. Stop quitting. Yes. Stop quitting. Well, I'm mad. I just said I'm going to have to quit. I'm just going to have to quit. I'm just mad. I'm mad. Well, you know, don't quit. Well, I never do anything right. It just always falls apart on me. And here comes the pity party. Don't quit. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and go after it again. So says the words of the song written by Deb Field. Anyway. Now, I want to make this very clear to you. It's the responsibility of the hearer to understand. Not the one sowing the seed, not the one preaching. It's your responsibility to understand. I can't, you know, drop it in there. Jordan will have to do that. He'll have to get an understanding. I had to get an understanding. You'll have to understand it. Oh, I mean, you know, now some of this stuff gets way over my head. Not for long. Not for long, it won't. You'll begin to just get right in there and flow right in there. If you begin to go, well, you know, Lord, maybe I didn't know about this. See, you know, I was raised in that church where we were like this. No. That tongue stuff, that's a lie. That's the devil. I mean, they were like this. And it was like, nah. And man, we got curious and we ended up at a little church down the hill We called it the Story Hill, where we lived. Down in the Story Hill there. In fact, the church was next to my mama's house. And they were over there doing some of that stuff. But we couldn't stay away. Deb Field would ride by on her bicycle, looking in the, while we were in there having a hootenanny, you know. Being like we were this morning when you were leading us, you and Deb. Having a good time and praising God and, you know. But I came from quiet in the church, you know. And I was, they were like this. You know, we're not going any further. This is it. But man, I took my arms down. I said, I want to go as far in God as I can. I want to understand. I want to know the truth about the Bible. I want to know the truth about God. I want to know something about Him. He really loves me like that. I want to know about it. He's really good. I want to know about it. He'll really put me in His family and bless me. I want to know about it. I can serve Him and He'll empower me with the graces to serve Him that I want to know about it. Because, you know, back then we were just good soldiers doing things with our own power. But now we have power. Now we can do something that changes lives. So I want to know about that. And that's still my quest today, that I will have understanding of this word, understanding of what the Holy Spirit is telling me, and move into new places so that I can have encounters with God and help this world. And it needs some help now. And my job right now is to get you to go with me. I want to know. And I will say, some of you haven't been here all that long. I'll tell you something about me, and some of the elders here and old timers here can tell you this is the truth. If I find out I've been wrong about something, I'll stand right up here and tell you. Is that right? So we'll all just go together. But there's more. You remember what we're talking about in this? God has more to give us than we've been willing to receive. So we're getting rid of hard hearts, or I learned it this way. I always learned it this way at our church. Well, we didn't believe. Well, we don't believe in being loud like that. You know, God doesn't have a hearing problem. We don't have to be so loud. Well, God's not nervous either. If you can shout at the football game, you can sure do make some noise. But it's going to be your responsibility. Now, I'm going to start closing this up. But I just want to bring this to you. This is Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, Jesus gave us this force of faith. Amen? He leads us in it, and He awards us with the prize of it. Okay? So, He's the developer. Anybody know what a developer is? Mac's dad was a big developer. He's in heaven now. He's probably developing heaven. But Mac's dad was a big developer in his time in this area, a land developer, okay? Well, Jesus is a developer. And He's developing your faith. He's going to help you move through this thing. He's going to help you. So now listen to me. I'm going to go Charles Caps on you. And I know Brother Winston, he's all about you. Come in here and get everything and get it now. That's good, but it depends on where you are. If your faith needs to be developed, you need to believe God for some socks first. Because if you believe for a house on Applehead, you better have some tax money. Well, I'm going to get a God. God will give me. So what, if someone gave you a house on Applehead today, can you pay the tax on it? I live out in the country, and thank God for faith. I'm debt free, but I have to pay taxes on that property. And they love my house. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you're going to have to be smart about this. Because you might get something. I'm believing for a jet. Well, can you buy jet fuel? It is, isn't it, Margaret? I'm telling you, you got to think about this. What are you going to, because once you faith something in, you better be ready to faith the rest of it in. So you can't get a blockage here. You can't have a hard heart. God is willing to give you more than you're believing for now. Let's start stepping into it. Let's start stepping into it. Clear out and make sure you stay on the right path about forgiveness. It's not that hard. It's a choice. And then make sure that you're really feeding that word. Feed that word into your spirit so you have some energy to believe, because immediately the enemy's going to tell you, you can't have that. You can't be healed. They'll all get healed, but you won't get healed. Well, you can't have that. Well, you can't live like that. Well, you're gonna, and it's all lies, because you can. Well, you can't do that assignment. You're not smart enough to do that assignment. You don't have to be smart enough. You have to have the Holy Spirit. I mean, I've had some assignments. One, as I've told y'all before, I had an assignment in Chicago, and they took us in there. I didn't know how to do any of it. But the Holy Spirit showed us how to do it. And we're the highest paid people there. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He did that. But you're gonna have to develop that. You're going to have to work on something. I'm trying to close it. He is a developer. And you can't learn to use this tool overnight. You can learn to use it. It's going to depend on how much effort you'll put into it. It takes some people years to use their faith because they spend very little time on learning to use the tool. But you could learn to use it. We all love the same tool at work, don't we? It's the sheetrock gun. She said it the same time I did. So, you know, we're about to sheetrock the back room here, and so John's ordering the sheetrock, and John says, well, if I can get the guys over there, we'll set that sheetrock up there, and then we'll get that sheetrock gun, and we'll just, it's like a machine gun, brr, 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 and it just puts it up. So the girls like that gun. You know, we're all about it. Now, Danny likes a bobcat. She wants to drive the bobcat, but we like the gun. Okay, so, but John says it. I mean, John started getting girl volunteers to shoot that gun. But we learned how to use it. He taught us how to use it. And now we can use it. And it's fun and it's quick. But you got to learn to use. Brother Kenneth Copeland would always say he watched Oral Roberts use his faith like a tool. That's why we did that. We did that point of contact. We released our faith. And so these are things you learn along the way. You're going to release your faith. What are people doing when they're walking up here putting sowing into the word? You're starting to tremble. What's the matter? So it backfired on me. They're sowing, they're releasing their faith in this word, that they're going to have their faith developed and move forward, and they're not going to have any blockages. That's what they're sowing into. We all get that. Maybe someone out there needed to hear it. Glory to God. Are y'all with me today? Praise God. You don't need to believe for a worldwide ministry today. Start serving. Believe that you'll be good at that. And serving doesn't consist of that you just show up on Sunday and do it. It means that you, whatever part you do, you read up on it. You know about it. You get your part down. If you're an orchestra, you got to learn the part before you go to the symphony. Well, there's nothing to it. Those people up there, you just go up there and stand in back of people. There shouldn't be nothing to that ushering. Not here. We have anointed ushers. We have the right people who look you in the eye when you're about to release your faith. We have the right people doing the right things because they care enough to hone in on their gift. And I would say if you don't care enough about your position to do something about it when you're not here, here we go. Here comes the ball. Move out of the position. If you don't care about it when you're not here, what if I did that? Well, let's just see if we can just pull something off. Some kind of word will come to me. We don't need to pray. Let's just do it. See, you got to walk where God has worked. You got to walk so you develop your servanthood. And you will end up in a worldwide ministry. Well, I'll just tell you right now, this church is in a worldwide ministry already. We do it corporately. Amen. Stand up, please. Thank you, Jesus. Now, listen to me. Stay focused, though, because we're leaving, but I need you to hear this. Remember what we said in the beginning, character and power. Don't grieve. Don't quench. Do not struggle with believing. Well, I want to believe. I want to believe. I want to receive what God has. I want to. Desire won't work. If you will go get in the shower, you will get wet. You got wet today by listening to this word. Get some more word. Just say, you know what, Lord, I'm going all the way with you. Teach me, show me. I'm not going to be in a little pigeonhole over here and not be willing to learn new things. I'm going to learn new things. I'm going to hone in on my gift. I'm going to see what you want me to do with my life. I'm going to get in that assignment. I'm going to do it because I'm going to tell you one thing. I didn't know if I'd tell you this, but I'm going to. Your favor and your progress has everything to do with your servanthood. Because servanthood is all involved in faith. Yeah, it does. Creflo's been preaching on it. It's about you doing your part. Everybody has a part. The thermostats have a part. Everybody has a part. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But don't struggle about it. You'll be all right. Take those promises personally and eat them. Stand on them and don't say anything else. We have a friend right now who's been in the hospital for days. The COVID thing got in there and then pneumonia, you know. And nothing is being said except that she's whole. We're not confessing anything else over her. And we're getting good reports now. She's whole in Jesus' name. The family will not say anything else. You can't call up there and say, how's so-and-so doing? Well, no, she's whole and healed in Jesus' name. They've blocked out any way. If you go to fish in there, you're not going to get in. They've blocked out any way except protecting her with the words that she needs to hear. Are we going to get that big? We are. I'm healed. I'm free. I'm debt free. I'm in the favor of God. These are the things we need to be confessing. And church, especially in the midst of how things have been lately, you know, with all the junk everybody's been through, you're going to have to stay strong. And you're going to have to believe. But I'm telling you, you can live the best life. I was watching the chaplains preach on Brother Copeland's meeting that he's happened. They said that they've had their churches have had the best years they've ever had through this 18 months of yuck. That they're building buildings and doing, and actually we've had very good year, very good 18 months here. We haven't lacked for anything. We haven't lacked for anointing or joy or blessing. We haven't lacked financially. In fact, we paid this building off. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. I know I preached a little long. I apologize. We just had to get some stuff done. But church, don't be struggling. Just relax in it and go in there and read the promises and claim them and confess them and stop asking why. Stop asking why.